Anybody? You're all special. You're all unique. You're created by the hand of God and how awesome God is. And I'm glad you're going to enjoy that this morning. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm getting pumped. I played that song. That's going to be our theme song through our 40-day study. We're right here at our kickoff. Next week, I'm going to be challenging you with a series on Servolution. Today, I want to talk to you about getting into a small group. That you need to get connected with a small group. I love this church. What's been exciting for me as pastor of the church is, you know, I love you guys because I know you guys love God. I know you guys love God. You love being a part of God. You love studying God's word. And we've been doing these 40-day studies now for several years. I mean, that's like 10 or 12 years. Did you know that? It's been about 10 years we've done these 40-day studies, and I've challenged you with that. And I'm going to do it again today, and I want to challenge you. Are you in a small group? Have you connected to a group that gets together once a week and spends just a few minutes together sharing life around the Word of God? And I want to challenge you with that. This week, I was reminded of the movie The Titanic. Anybody seen the movie Titanic? Anybody? I guess it's one of the most highly rated movies. Just so you know, I didn't see it. But I read this little outline about the movie, and it was telling a story about the movie. And it was painting a great picture. That just after the Titanic sank into the ocean, they had this far shot. And then you just see the debris bouncing around in the ocean. And as the camera zooms in, you see that debris bouncing around in the ocean, and you realize it's not debris. It's people. There's people bouncing around in the ocean. Hundreds of people bouncing around in the ocean. And the camera fades to some lifeboats, 20 of them. 20 lifeboats over here on the side. And not one returning. Not full boats. A few people in some of the boats, just very few people. But they're all over there. And they can hear the screams. They can hear the cries of the people yelling for help. That are bouncing around 28-degree water. They're not going to last long. But one boat, captained by Harold Lowe, boat number 14, decides to go back. And he rows back and leads the group back and pulls four people's all that they could save. And I started thinking about what does that mean for us as a church? Because here's what I want to tell you. A small group is your lifeboat. That small group of 5, 6, 12 people that you gather with once a week is your lifeboat. That how many of us know that we have friends, that we have neighbors, that we have coworkers, that we have family, that we have fellow students, that we have those that are around us that are bobbing around in the world sinking. Anybody? You know, those friends, that neighbor. You know, the world is beating them up. They're just one tough thing away from sinking in the world. And what I want to say is that small group is a lifeboat. How many of us could talk about that time when our group was right there, those people that we meet with once a week was right there when we needed them? Yeah. That we have a church, and you hear me as your pastor frequently tell you that you need to be in church and you need these three things, and you're going to hear this over and over again. You need three things in your life. You will not survive. You will sink in this world without these three things. You need a church. You need a church family. You need a small group, 8, 10, 12 people that you're journeying through life with. And you need somebody who can say those hard things to you. Somebody that can look you in the eye and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. You see, you need those three things. You need that lifeboat. See, and the problem is we walk out and we see our world. And I was thinking about this today. We see our world and we say, oh, how sad. We don't want anything to do with the world. The world's going in the wrong direction. There's nothing but devastation. And yet there's hurting people bobbing around in that world. And we're the lifeboat. And so I want to challenge you today, and I'm going to encourage you today. I want you to think about, are you in a small group? Most of us are in a small group. But there are some of you here who have not attached to a group of 4, 5, 10, 12 people. We have groups that meet Monday night. We have groups that meet Tuesday night. We have groups that meet Wednesday. We have groups that meet Thursday morning. We have groups that meet Friday. We need more. I want to challenge us. So what I got today is I got 10 reasons you should belong to a group. All right? 10 reasons why you should be a part of a small group. Why you should be there. So I'm just going to go through these real quick with you. I figured if I have 30 minutes, that's like 2 minutes apiece and a few minutes to tell some stories. Does that sound okay? The first one is this. The optimal environment for life change is a small group. If you want some changes in your life, you want your life to be different. If you're looking at your life saying, I need to make some changes. It's not quite where I want to be. I'm not quite who I want to be. I need to make some changes. It's not going to happen sitting in rows like this. You got to get in a circle. You have to spend some time with some other folks to share life stories, to share life journeys. Because you know what we realize? When you start getting in a circle, you start realizing, you know what? We're not all that different. That we're all very similar. I remember when I went and worked on my doctorate, we had to come to the first meeting, and we're sitting around a table. And it's a group that, and literally, they limit to the group of that at that time. There's like 10 of us. That's it. That's all who can work on the doctorate for a year. And so we're limited to the 10. And we begin by telling our stories. And what I realized, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Yeah, I was drugged to church and that kind of stuff, but I wasn't really raised in a Christian home. And we began telling our stories, and I realized there was another young man that I had known and known who he was. I had known his dad. His dad was a leader in churches. And as he told about his dad, guess what? His dad was just like my dad. Yeah. We often think, well, nobody knows the troubles I've seen, right? You get in that small group and you begin to see that, you know what? It's similar. We've all been on this journey. There's pains to celebrate, to walk through together. There's joys to celebrate together. See, if you want change in your life, you got to move beyond just gathering and sitting in rows. You got to get in that little circle and share life's journeys. Somebody that can cry with you when you're hurting. And can say, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to walk with you when you're hurting. And somebody's going to sit there and celebrate with you when it's good, when it's exciting. God did this. Hey, man, you know, let's go out and have dinner together. That's fun. Let's go. You know, that small group is what makes that change happen in your life. And so you need a small group. The benefit is you're going to see change in your life. Second thing I put down here is unconnected people. Oh, let me read the scripture. I don't want to skip the word. Oh, this is great. While they were while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, now who's he? Anybody got an idea? Jesus. All right, you guys have got it, man. He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. They joined a small group. A small group of 12 guys. Very different guys. We're going to have some fun. Just so you know, in your 40-day study, you're going to have some fun looking at these 12 guys. Because there's one, you know, there's one who the Jews hated. He was a tax collector, a guy named Matthew. You know, you got a betrayer in there, you know, a guy that's going to stick Jesus in the back by kissing him on the cheek. Yeah. You know, and so you know, they join this group. They're different. And we need to see that. But that's part of who we are. And you grow in that. Peter and Andrew were not the same. You read Peter as a fisherman here, and then let's turn over to Acts chapter 2. And Peter's standing there boldly declaring Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is Savior of the world. See, that small group changed their lives. It will change yours. The second one, unconnected people are one tough thing away from not making it. Unconnected people are one tough thing away from not making it. When I was writing this point down, I thought about my grandkids used to come over. Now, I wasn't into watching the Animal Channel. Anybody watch Animal Channel? All right, some of you do. I wasn't into watching the Animal Channel. But my little granddaughter, Aubrey, enjoyed the Animal Channel. And so what does Grandpa do? Anybody? You're going to watch Animal Channel, right? Yeah. It's your grandkid. What do? Yeah. But as you watch that Animal Channel, and you watch the lions, they're just kind of lazing around. And here's a herd of, let's say, the water buffalo or one of those animals over there. And it's time for the lion to eat. You got this big herd here, but you got this one sitting over here that's just kind of wandered away. What's that lion going to do? He's going for that easy picking, isn't he? You know, he's going to go after that one that's over there. See, that's what it is with us. When we're not connected, we're just kind of hanging out there. We're easy pickings for life to tear us up. We're easy pickings for life to cause us to sink in 28-degree water. See, we need to get connected. We need to hang in with one another. We need to be there with one another. See, it's kind of like the devil. He's just kind of watching. And it's kind of, you know, you look around church, and have you ever seen this? You look around church, and all of a sudden somebody starts disappearing. Do they become easy pickings? Does it become easy? You know, you miss one Sunday, and man, I really miss church. You miss two Sundays, man, I wish I was at church. You miss three Sundays, and it's like, man, what a day. And I'm it takes 7 weeks to get a good habit, and 3 weeks it's gone. See, you become easy pickings. You need that small group. Those 4, 5, 6, 12 people to connect with. See, because you're just one devastating event. You know, that phone rings and there's an illness that strikes your family. That tragedy, I was reading the newspaper on the internet and it just broke my heart. 10 people killed in Southern California in car accidents. Anybody read that? All teenagers. A carload of teenagers returning from Knott's Berry Farm crashed, and 5 of the kids were burned beyond recognition, and 6 of the kids in the car. I can't imagine getting that phone call. What do you do when you get a call like that? How do you respond? See, you need that small group. You need that group that's going to be there. See, unconnected people are tough one thing away from them. Third thing I put here is this. It's a classroom for learning how to get along in God's family. You know what? I skipped the scripture again, didn't I? Back it up, Evie. Sorry about that. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some are doing. Does that sound familiar? You know what I think is interesting? People do that today, but they were doing it back then too. Yeah. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. We got to encourage one another. We got to inspire one another. We got to be there for one another. And the next one again, the classroom. It's the classroom for learning how to get along in God's family. Are relationships easy? Isn't it easy to get along with everybody? Can't we just love everybody? Haven't we heard that somewhere before? Can't we just love everybody? Relationships are tough. It's hard enough loving my Christian brothers and sisters. Anybody ever got a Christian that made them mad? Besides me, making you mad? Yeah. Yeah. Do we ever rub each other the wrong way? You ever have a Christian brother or sister that just kind of rubbed you the wrong way by something they said? How do we learn to get along with one another? You learn that in a small group. See, when you get in that small group, you realize, let me tell you something, you realize something. You realize you're not always right. You know, the problem is I'm 99.9% right. Ask Laura, she'll tell you. I'm right when she says I'm right. You know? But we think, you know, we got the corner on right. I got the corner on how this should be done. If they would just listen to me. But you get in that small group and you start having those conversations and you realize, you know what? There's more than one way to get this. How'd they used to say this? Now, I don't know if this is politically correct or not, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, no, I don't like cats, but that's not relevant. But I think that, wasn't that a saying? I don't know, who'd want to skin a cat anyway, but I thought that was a saying. Yeah. But there's more than one way to answer. We think, well, my way is the right way and your way is wrong. See, but we get in our small group, we have those conversations, we realize, I like that guy, that guy's nice, she's really smart. Well, maybe she could be right. Maybe he could be right. Maybe I'm not. See, you get in that small group and you start realizing it's tough to be a family. You know, it's even tough to be a family with your blood relatives. You know, those that are part of who you are. You know, that DNA all matches and it's still, and then we start adding everybody else. And then God says, love the world. Yeah. You know, I need help loving. Some people rode with me yesterday going down Taylor Road, and we had a not cool driver in front of me. We're 200 yards from the stop sign, and they're stopping. How do we deal with these things? You know what I'm saying? See, how do we be a family? Do we ever get on anybody's nerves? I am sure, I've been here 31 years, I am sure there have been times I've been on some of you guys' nerves. I didn't need to hear the amens, all right? I didn't need that affirmation there. I needed other times. Yeah. But it's true, we do that. But see, that's what happens in that small group. You build that relationship, you can understand, you know what, I disagree with them. I had a professor at college, and him and I did not get along. I mean, I argued with him over and over again. I go, now, here's my paper. I answered that. I believe I answered it right. You need to reread this. I would tell him that. Can you imagine me doing that? Yeah. Yeah. But then one day, I'm sitting at a table. We're having a presentation at the school, and we're having dinner. And I'm sitting with some of these professors, and he's sitting across from me. And we're talking, and he's talking with one of the professors sitting next to me, and all of a sudden, I hear his story. I hear this professor that I'm struggling with, his story. A story how he just started pastoring a church as a young man after graduating seminary. And he's driving on an icy road on his way to church on a Sunday morning, slides off the road, and crashes. And his wife and his son are killed in that car crash. Do you think that changed my opinion about that professor? You think that had an impact on me about that professor? Now, we still had trouble, all right? But I appreciated him a lot more when I understood his story. See, we get in that family. We start getting together with one another. That wouldn't happen in class. There's 30 students sitting there. It took that small group experience to see that. And so see, that you start learning how to get along with others. Look at what it says here. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part of your body is honored, all the other parts is honored. See, we're all part of this body. We're all in this together. We're all working at this together. Shared experiences, shared life. Share those hearts, share those rejoicings, share those times. And it helps us. That small group. Look again at what it says here. This is how we know that what real love is. Jesus gave his life for us. So we should give our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, that small group teaches us how to do that. I like what Rick Warren calls EGRs. Anybody remember EGRs? Extra grace required. You know, you get in your small group and you got that one person in that group that just kind of drives you crazy. You know, that one person that just kind of gets on your nerves. They call them EGRs. Now, if you don't know who that one is in your group, don't ask your group. Yeah. Because we wrestle with that. I see some finger pointing. Don't do that. Yeah. Because it's true. See, we learn, how do we get along? How do we get along with that person that gets on your nerves? Because you know what? I was sharing that yesterday on the way home from the conference. We went to Awana conference yesterday. I said Awana, not Awana. See, I got it right. Went to the Awana conference yesterday. I was sharing. I thank God in his sarcasm. Because I think God, I'm kind of sarcastic. I think God might have that with him too. You know, he's going to put the guy that I have the hardest time in life with right next door to me in heaven. I mean, you know, can you imagine that? That the guy that you struggle with the most is your neighbor for all eternity. So here's my words for you. Here's the wisdom I'm going to have for you. Get rhythm today so when you get there forever, you've already got it all resolved, all right? You know, I just think God could do that. You know, it's like you didn't learn down there, so you're going to learn up here. You know? See, we learn to be family. You get in that small group, you learn to be family. You become family. Fourth thing down here. A small group helps you develop spiritual muscles. Spiritual muscles, you grow. Look at what the scripture says. I like this one. And let us consider how we may spur, and I circled that, one another on toward love and good deeds. How can we motivate? How can we encourage? How can we stimulate? How can we spur? I think of John Wayne. Anybody? Think of John Wayne spurring his horse. And off they run. Yeah. How do we spur one another? Sitting in rows like this, I have asked you guys to read portions of Scripture. We just did a series on prayer. We looked at the model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. Remember? And I ask you to go home and read, and you had 5 weeks to do it, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, without raising your hand to embarrass me, how many of you did that? Yeah, forgot. Now, see, sitting in rows don't get it done. Now, you get in a small group. You know, you got those 4, 5, 8, 12 people sitting around a group. And they say, we need to go home and read this. What are you going to do? You're going to go home and read that. Because you know when you get back there, those 8 people are going to ask you, did you read it? Now, I ask you, did you read it? Now, don't embarrass, raise your hand. I should do that, though. Yeah? See, that small group helps you develop spiritual muscles. It helps you grow. Yeah? I like, how many of us, this is one of the conversations I was over at the school on opening day. And walking around, and I like talking about reading to the kids. I think reading is really important, okay? And I was talking to the kids about reading, because I got to go read to the classroom sometimes over here next to us. And I was sharing with the kids, you know, I read at least one book a month. You need to know that. I read logical books, trying to learn about preaching and teaching and leading a church. I read fun books. Right now I'm reading Duck Dynasty, a book from Willie on Duck Dynasty, you know? And but I'm also reading, I just finished our book, Servolution, not too long ago. I'm reading a book on small group purpose. But you know what? If nobody checks up on me, I don't have to read. But see, that small group challenges you and encourages you. It spurs you on to, hey, I need to do this. See, let us consider how we can spur one another on. How can we grow? And I want to challenge you to be part of it. See, part of the time, we think we know a whole lot until we get in a small group. You know, I know a whole lot about the Bible. You know, I can sit down and say, you know what, I know a whole lot about the Bible. But then you put me in a group with Martha and Francis, I'm in trouble. You know? See, I'm going to tell you, you want to get in a Bible study, that's the kind of group I want to be in, you know? See, we grow through those Bible study groups. We gain muscles as we grow. Let's go on. A small group will help keep you from spiritually backsliding. Does anybody know what backsliding is? I didn't know if you guys knew that word. Does anybody know? See, a backslider is a Christian who says they're a Christian, but all of a sudden they're not doing the Christian things. Okay? We call that backsliding. You know, yeah, I'm following God, but he's over there and I'm kind of over here right now. That we call that backsliding. And see, when you're not in a small group, it's easy to backslide. It's easy to do your own thing. Nobody knows. Nobody's checking on me. Nobody sees me. I'm just kind of hanging out over here. And we backslide and we think. Because I want to tell you, none of us is immune for temptation. Most of us are tempted every day. And if you're like me, several times a day. Temptation is a reality. So how do we fight that? See, God gives us people. He assigns us to a lifeboat. Don't you like that? He gives you a lifeboat, something to connect to, someone to be with, someone to hang with, someone that's going to be there for you. See, this is the key. It's walking through life together. See, that's the key. We need that. And we don't have that. It's easy to go do our own thing. It's easy to get caught up in sin. Well, everybody else in the world is doing it. Why can't I? My neighbor does it. My coworker does it. My dad does it. I don't know. So everybody else is doing it. Why can't I? But then you get in that small group and you realize, you know what? We're all fighting the same thing. We just finished our home group on Wednesday. We just finished the Old Testament. We started in the New Testament last week. We just finished the Old Testament. We just finished the Minor Prophets. I love the Minor Prophets. I'll challenge you. Here's your homework. Here's some of my homework. Don't start this. We got our 40-day study coming. But I read the Minor, and you know what? It's like reading today's newspapers. We think we have come a long ways. Man, we are so smart. Look how much smarter we are than they are. But you know what? We might be smarter, but we still act the same. You ever notice that? Have we really changed from the 60s? Have we really changed from the 50s? We think our world's worse off. I don't think we're any worse off. I think we just talk about it more. You see about it more on the news. I always liked the way they talk about things. I remember watching a John Wayne movie, In Harm's Way. Anybody seen John Wayne movie, In Harm's Way? All right, some of you have seen that movie. It's a great movie, you know, and it's made back in the 50s. And he sleeps with a nurse, but it's really easy because what they do is they show you the evening scene when he goes into the house, and they show you the morning scene when he comes out of the house. You know the only difference today is you watch that on TV. You don't only see him walk in the house, you go in the bedroom with him. Yeah. It's still the same. We haven't changed. Yeah. Only thing we did, let's just show them what they're going to do. Yeah. If you're going to backslide, so we need that group around. We need those others around us to help us, to be there with us. Look at what it says. But encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because of sin has tricked you. I like the way that one, the NCV New Century Version translated that. Don't get tricked. Be there for one another. See, and this is what I challenge. We got to walk through life together. We are not called to straighten somebody out. You know, we read that passage about if your brother sins, go and talk to him. Yes, you do that. But you don't talk to him to straighten him out. You talk to him to walk through life with. Does that make sense? To me, here's what I've said, and I'm going to keep saying as your pastor. You do not go straighten anybody out. You go to say somebody that I'm going to walk with you as we battle this together. That's the only reason you can confront somebody is if you're willing to walk with them through that battle. Period. Don't straighten anybody out. It's not your job. God didn't call us to straighten each other out. God called us to do life together. Is that right? Am I right? That's why there's a small group. We do it together. Not straightening each other out. See, that's what helps us. Look at what it says. If you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. See, we have a responsibility to help one another. You know, it's not my job as your pastor to straighten you out. You know, it's my job to walk through life with you as your pastor and help you do life. Because you're going to help me do life. Then you get in that small group, and that's really where it happens. It's in that small group. See, there's that spiritual strength. You build spiritual muscles, and then it also spiritual helps you not backslide. Let's look at the next one. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs you. We're all different. We're all unique. We've all been shaped differently. We have Awana in our church now, and Awana is a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I'm here, and I step in and help when people can't be here. And I've got to help with the Journey. I think it's Journey over here. That's the kind of high school kids. But I've also got to help. I think it's Sparks. It was a kindergartners. You can have the kindergartners. Yeah. See, that's not my... Now, I'm going to go over there. I love the kids. But that's just not me. Yeah. I'd rather be over here with the Journey. Yeah. But what's nice is God has shaped all of us different so that we have people in our church like Chris and Megan over here who enjoy the Sparks. And then we have others over here like Sean and Dan that work with the junior high and senior high. And then we got some others, Dolores, and I can just go on, and Evie and Steve and Emily, and they're all just kind of spread out because we all have different passions. Some of you wouldn't want to work with the junior hires, right? Some of you just, I didn't want to touch those kids. Because God shaped us differently. See, the body of Christ needs everybody. We need one another. Look at what it says. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it's made up of different parts. Yeah. I kind of thought about making a car. What happens if I came in here and said, I'm going to have you guys build a car. Here's a steering wheel and some tires. Build me a car. Can you build a car with steering wheel and tires? You need some other parts, don't you? Yeah. Well, that's the same thing. We need one another. We need each other. You know, because we all have different parts. Like I say, I enjoy the kids. I like loving on the kids, but teaching the kids ain't my thing. I have fun teasing them, pumping them full of sugar and giving them back. Yeah. But give me the high school and the junior high, you know, that they think, although they think crazy sometimes, at least they're thinking. We all have different passions like that, and we need to see that as God. See, we have different abilities. I like that shape. Remember we talked about shape in our church? Anybody remember shape? You have a spiritual gifts, a heart, ability, a personality, and experiences, and we all pull together to make something happen, and it takes all of that to make it happen. And see, God, do this. You have knowledge that I don't have. I went to those conferences yesterday, and I had people sharing knowledge with me that I had no idea what Awana and some of the things with Awana. What's that five count? You know, that's really important. Five, you better be on your line at five, okay? Leaders, you too. All right? When Stephen starts going, one, two, three, four, five, you better be on your line. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Leaders, what you need to do is this. Listen, I'm teaching you something. When Stephen goes one, you guys go, don't say a word, just count with him, with your hand. So the kids know we're all on this together. See, we're all different. We need each other. We're different. We're unique. And God shaped us that way. Look at what it says here. Each of you, as God, as good manager, must use the gift that God has given you to, circle those last two words, to what? Serve yourself. To be successful. To make a lot of money. To be smart. We're supposed to use our gifts, our talent, our abilities to serve others. Do you see that? See, we need one another. You're going to hear this over and over through our 40-day study. So you might, let me set this stage right now. This is going to be a statement you hear over and over and over because that's going to be a servolution for us. Every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. When we say the church needs you, that you, the body of Christ needs you, you need to be part of that body. Every believer needs a ministry in the church. You need to be involved somewhere, some way, some shape, some form. You need to be involved in what God is doing in the local church. And you learn that in your small group. You can discover those skills and those things in a small group. The next one kind of talks with the second point of that phrase. A small group is the best way to take your God-given mission in the world. That not only are we supposed to be in our church and in our community, we're supposed to be in the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says. He creates each of us to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us, work we had better be doing. See, God wants us to be working in the world. We have a mission in this world. Our 40-day study is going to concentrate on these two things right here. That every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. That you need a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Don't you love it when the kids just run around? So they're fun. Let me tell you something. Don't get mad. Don't get aggravated with them. Because some of those kids that are singing now were like that. I wouldn't talk about Megan if I didn't have to. I'm sorry, Megan. I couldn't miss the shot. Megan's a sweetheart. She can take it. But seriously, I think about my daughter crawling under the pews. Dorothy, remember that? Yeah. Now she's working in her church and already involved in a church in Idaho. Haven't been up there a month yet, and she's already involved in a church in Idaho. So don't let the kids bug us, man. I love the kids. But see, we need to see that. We have a mission to them. We have a mission to the world. I want to challenge us. See, we learn that mission in that small group. We learn that part we can play in that small group. He creates each of us to be a part of that. Look again what it says. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town, place where he himself was about to go. He sent them out by two by two. You don't have to do this by yourself. You find others to join you. That's where you get in that small group. And you find others to join you, to be a part of it. You know, I go back to some of the small groups I've been involved in, and we gather things up for the gospel mission, or we gather things up for the food pantry, or the one I meet with on Tuesday that gets socks and different things together and takes cupcakes to the care homes over here on Kernan Road. See, a mission to the world. Right now, we're doing part of Christmas. Anybody? Christmas Child? We're putting together boxes for Christmas Child. See, a mission around the world. See, and usually we have our small groups challenge one another. I don't know if we're going to do that again this year. I haven't heard the challenge come down yet. Yeah. But we usually challenge one another as our small group because we do it as a partners. We do it together. See, we need to see that. Every believer, a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. And that becomes real in that small group. And you develop those skills and those talents in that small group. And you use them. Let's go on. People desperately need you, and you desperately need people. You were created for a relationship. Did you know that? I want to make sure you get the picture here. Why did God create us? Why did God create man? He created man for a relationship, right? Anybody with me on this? He created man for a relationship. Matter of fact, he says there's two things you got to have. You need to what? The two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God, be in relationship with me, and be in relationship with one another. See, we have this need to be in relationship, to have relationships with each other. You know, we read that passage there when it says, and it was not good for man to be alone when God created Eve. And we always go, yeah, men by themselves, it is not good. You know, we kind of know that. But I think that's for everybody. You know, when they're going to punish somebody in a prison, they put them in solitary confinement. Because see, that's punishment. We need one another. God made us for a relationship, and we need each other. That's what that small, you need that small group. See, this is what's funny for me as a pastor. Because the church isn't here for the church. The church isn't here about the church. The church is here because you need the church. The small group is there not because, well, you need to be in a small group. The small group is there because you need the small group. That's why God put them there. It wasn't like, well, I don't need it. I just do it because it's an institution. You know? No, we need that. We need that intimacy. We need one another. You know, the Lord, the God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suit of him. We need one another. That one another, did you know there's over 50 times in the Bible God calls us to one another? Did you know that? Over 50 times he calls us to love one another, to care for one another, to bless one another, to be there with one another. He just goes on and on. I put a list here. To love, to engage, to care, to greet, to admonish, to honor, to serve. I could just keep going. We need one another. That's who God made us to be. You need a small group because you need it. Next one I put here was this. Jesus followers can have fun. Now I want to ask, how many here are in a small group? Raise your hand. Come on, those in a small group. All right, I see a lot of hands go up. How many of you have fun in your small group? Raise your hand. Oh, almost the same number. It's fun being in a small group. Did you know Christians can have fun? Can you believe that? I cannot believe Christians can have fun. I am having a great life. I feel I have had a blessed life, and I haven't missed out on anything. And not because I'm perfect, practically though, but not perfect. Yeah. But because it's a better life. And it's fun. I like this. Look, A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. See, there's joy, there's laughter, there's fun in being a small group. There's something going on in being a small group. And so I want to make sure people know, that's one of my passions when I talk to people out there and invite people to church, that it can be fun. That it is fun. I'm going to tell you, Thursday night, you want to have a great time? Come down and watch these kids on Thursday night. You know, not just watch the kids, watch the adults too. Yeah. But if you're going to come down and watch, I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to have Evie and Stephen put you to work, okay? There's no watchers. You need to get involved and be a part of what God is doing. See, it's fun being a part of what God is doing. I'm kind of running out of time, so I'm going to kind of skip down. Let's skip down to this next point right here. Let's see. Oh, why I hate small group. Why do I hate small? I found this. This is written by a pastor, not me. But it's written by a pastor. Listen to what he said. I have to confess that I don't like small group. When we host a group, I dread it all day. We have to get the house clean, reset the furniture, watch my wife make dessert. I like that part. Study the material, plan the questions, all the small group stuff a small group leader does. On top of all that, I'm an introvert. Small group day is the worst day of the week for me. Why do we do this to ourselves? And the people come, and we laugh, and we talk, and we study, and we pray. Eventually, we get a little under the surface, and we see what real life looks like instead of the plastic version we experience the rest of the day. Occasionally, life peels away all the layers, and we come face to face with the ugliness of this mortal tent we wear. For 2 hours a week, we are forced to be ourselves, share our joy and our pain with our friends who know us, who love us, and who care. At the end, a couple lingers longer than the rest and shares their wound, and we try to offer a little help, and we realize that we are all hanging desperately onto God's promises, and we know that we are connected at a level deeper than most people ever experience. I'm afraid I will always hate small groups. They will always be inconvenient and a hassle. They will always be uncomfortable and frustrating. But I can't think of a better way to follow Jesus' command to love your neighbor as yourself than to connect deeply with a small group of followers. So I'll see you next week at small group. Ah, great. I thought that was kind of cute. Why do you hate small group? If you're not in a small group, you're telling me you hate it, okay? I'm going to be blunt. If you're not in a small group, you're saying, I hate it. I hate it because I don't have enough time, right? I hate it because I don't like the people they put me with. That's your choice. Yeah. Why do you hate it? I gave you a place to write. You notice there were some lines there? Because I'm going to challenge you to be in a small group. Find a group. Join a group. Create a group. There's benefits. You will be blessed. I gave you 9. Matter, let me give you the 10th one. Look at the 10th one. Right at the top of the picture there. Come over to my house is much easier invitation than come with me to church. Come over to my house is much easier invitation than come to me to church. How many times you're going to go home today, and maybe some of you, when do the Niners play? The Whiners. I don't know. Maybe you're going to go home and say, come to my house and watch the game. Or the Giants are going to play, right? Don't the Giants play today too? Yeah. So somebody's got a big day. You got the 49ers and the Giants playing today. Yeah. So you guys are going to sit there and you're going to call them. Come over and watch the game with me. You'll invite them over to watch a baseball game, to watch a football game. You'll invite them over to eat dinner. You know? You'll invite them over to sit down and just have a visit. And let's have some cookies. Yes, invite me for that one. Yeah. But when it comes, will you invite them over to study God's word? That's my question. Next week, you can walk out of here with a DVD and a couple of books. And you can walk out of here and say, would you come and watch this with me? Just at my house. Do you have 2 friends? That's my challenge this year. And even if you're in a group, do it. See, Laura and I did that. Laura and I had a great group on Wednesday night. We enjoy our Wednesday night group. We have a great time on Wednesday night with our group. But we've seen some people that weren't in group. And so Laura and I started a group on Monday night. And so now I have a group on Monday night and Wednesday night. And then I go to Tuesday and just have fun and sit there and veg and eat chips and dip. They always buy chip and dip. Ah. Yeah. But see, I'm going to encourage you. If you already have a group, think about two friends that need to be in a group and invite them to your house. Stay in your group. Enjoy your group. Just 6 weeks. Give 6 weeks to two of your friends that can change their life. It might be some of your family. It might be a coworker. It might be a neighbor. I don't know, but can you give just 6 weeks to two of your friends that can change their life? Come to my house. It's a lot easier than saying come to church, isn't it? You do it all the time. Can you do it for Bible study? We're going to have a bunch of DVDs and all that. Inside your worship folder is a colorful, bright paper. You notice I didn't say what color. I think it's purple, but I am not sure. Pink? All right, it's pink. I was trying to not say it, but yeah. Pull that pink paper out right now. Will you be a host? Will you be willing to invite two friends? Do you have two friends? If you don't have two friends, you need to start a group so you can get two friends. All right? Will you be a host? I want you to pull that out, and I want you to pray about it. You can fill it out right now. Maybe you want to fill it out and bring it back next week. I don't know. But can you think of two people you will invite over to sit, spend time? Just, anybody got a finger? Anybody? Anybody got a pointer finger? Show me your pointer fingers. All right. So you guys can push a DVD button. That's what it is. You know, I gave it right here. Here's what a host is. Have a heart for people, open your home, serve a snack, and turn on the DVD player. Can you do that? There's benefits from that small group. I'm going to tell you, it will change your life. It's where life change happens. It keeps us from backsliding. It strengthens us. It encourages us. It inspires us. There's something about that group. Yeah, we can hate it. Yeah, you know, tonight, oh man, I'm tired. You know, I got to put my shoes back on Monday night. You know, because when I come on Monday, I take my shoes off, and you know, now the group's coming over. So okay, go put my shoes on. You don't want my stinky feet hanging around. Yeah. See, will you invite two people? I want to challenge you. Stephen and I have talked. We want 15 groups. They can be as few as two. And as many as 15, 20, or whatever you can fit in your home. But will you host a home? Will you open your home? I want to challenge you. You will be blessed. God will bless you. And your life will be changed because God has touched you. Just two people. It could be two family members. It could be two neighbors. It could be a coworker and a fellow student. I don't know. Just two people. Can you also, there's a blessing when you do it. Will you open your home up for two? I gave you the definition of servolution there just so you know what's going on. This is what it's going to be all about. It's a church revolution by serving people in your church and community. That's what it's about. We're going to study about how can we become God's hands and feet in the world today. That it's not just telling people about Jesus. It's showing people Jesus. We're going to have a servolution in our church. So I want to encourage you, pray about being a host home. If you fill that paper out today, I want you to give it to Stephen and say, Stephen, you can count on me. If you want to pray about it, take it home, pray about it. We'll have them here next week because if you take it home, you might not remember to bring it back. So I'll have extras here next week. But I want you to pray about that and I want you to give it to Stephen and say, Stephen, you can count on me. And next week we're going to have books and DVDs and everything out here for you. So take a few minutes. We want to have a servolution. And I put it this way at the bottom so you know this is where we're going. Every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Every believer needs a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. Do you have a ministry? Is it the small group? Is it your opportunity? It is blessed to be in a small group. Are you blessed? I want to challenge you to be a part of what God is going to do in the next 6 weeks. I'm excited. It's going to be fun. I'm not too thrilled with the DVDs because it's me, all right? I'm kind of blasé. I'm kind of sitting there. Rah, rah, rah. It's my first event. and first try, you guys pray for me. As you watch that DVD, say, oh, that poor guy. But have fun. Can you invite two? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you that you're a loving, mighty God. That you know the battles we fight. And Lord, sometimes we're the ones bobbing in the water, just clinging on to life. I thank you for the small groups. I thank you for those who are in my life, Lord. For the joy I find and the blessings I find being a part of these groups. I thank you for their lives that they share with me, for the strength that I gain, for the wisdom that I experience, for the love that is truly shared. I pray that each and everyone here knows that, that each and everyone knows the warmth of a small group, of a group of people that will love them and care for them, that will walk with them through life, that will celebrate the joys and weep with the sorrows. Lord, that you called us to be with one another. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for these, my family in the Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who unites us as one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.